They're doing baby dedications. One of the first things they like to do when a mother gets pregnant is they like to stick that ultrasound or whatever that thing is on her stomach and listen to the baby's heartbeat. And you get to hear that, and that's pretty impressive, isn't it? How many have ever heard a baby's heartbeat on one of those monitors? That's cool. There's life in there. There's something miraculous and amazing happening in there. And the doctors with a heartbeat can tell a lot of things. Every time I go to the doctor, they stick one of them cold stethoscopes on my chest, and they want to listen. You know, breathe in, breathe out, turn your head. Usually, you know, that kind of stuff. And they want to listen to your heartbeat. They want to hear what your heart's doing. And they can tell a lot about a heart with a heartbeat. My heartbeat's a little weird, and they check it out and go, wow, that's weird. And I go, that's my heartbeat, because I'm weird too. Maybe that's why, I'm not sure. But the doctors a lot of times can diagnose things and understand a lot of things with a heartbeat. And so today we want to talk about the heartbeat of the Life Center. We're in between series right now. We just finished the Out of the Box series, and some of you are wondering why we have Archie Bunker's living room here. It looks like the 70s, doesn't it? It's like Mom and Dad, I think that was our couch or chair, I'm not sure, back when I was growing up, or maybe Grandpa and Grandma's. But we're starting a new series next week called Welcome Home. And the subtitle is Kick Off Your Shoes and Stay a While. And this is going to be 3 weeks of inviting people back to church, inviting people to God, inviting people to come and connect, letting them know that the first word, welcome, that's God's word to us, welcome. The second word, home, what is home? What's home supposed to be like? What's home supposed to feel like? What's the church supposed to be like? What are we trying to do? So we'll be talking about those two words and talking about kicking off your shoes, getting comfortable, and staying a while, because that's what God wants for us. So that starts next week, and that's why you see this decor back here. So in between series, a lot of times we'll preach a message that's just kind of a stabilizing, reconnecting message for the core of the church, who we are, what we do, why we do what we do. And so that's what today's message is. What's the heartbeat of the Life Center? Some of you hang out here, and maybe you don't know what our heartbeat is. Maybe you've never put the stethoscope up to our chest and said, what is their heartbeat? What are they doing? Some of you have been to our My Church class, and you got to hear some of this there. So we'll kind of go over that briefly, and then I'm just going to center on one of our values today and talk a little bit about that, a little bit about who we are, why we do what we do, what we're trying to do. We don't always hit the target. We don't always accomplish our values every day, every week, every month, or every year, but these are things we shoot at. This is who we are. This is who we want to be. This is who we're trying to become. So if you've been around a little while, you know that you hear this phrase, loving God passionately and loving others purposefully. Arby talked a little bit about how do you love God passionately? And David was one of those guys. He just loved God passionately with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, all of his strength. If you remember in the New Testament, they're asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? They're trying to trick him. They're trying to find a reason to kill him. And he says, what do you think? And they answer him, you know, and he says, well, let me tell you, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. He said, the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So the heartbeat of Christianity, the heartbeat of our Creator, and hopefully the heartbeat of the Life Center is love. Loving God passionately is the word we like to use. We have a few phrases of what that means, loving God passionately. It means that we would worship Him extravagantly. When you love God passionately, you worship Him extravagantly. And extravagant to one person is different than extravagant to another person. You know, if I get to supersize my McDonald's meal, that's extravagant. Some of you want steak and lobster. You think that's extravagant, you know, but we have different things of extravagant. Some of you think this living room's extravagant, and some of us don't. So there's different. So in your worship, sometimes it's different too. you're worshiping God extravagantly. One of the things that the Bible talks about of worship is when the woman came to Jesus with her alabaster box, this ointment, it was like her dowry. It was like a year's worth of salary. It was very precious. And she, in worship of God, broke this box and poured the ointment out and anointed Jesus. And then he actually said that she's preparing my body beforehand for its burial. And there was a few people that looked around and said, it don't take all that. She should have taken that and sold it and given it to the poor. But Jesus says, leave this lady alone. She will be talked about down through the centuries, this worship that she has given me. So that's an example of extravagant worship. And so we talk about that. We try to do that. Worship God extravagantly. Obey God totally. We're just talking about worshiping or loving God passionately, obeying Him totally. God, whatever you want, that's what I want to do. I always want to be a person that says yes to God. I want to keep saying yes to God. Every time God asks me something, I want to say yes. I don't want to be the person that says no to God. How about you? See, when I want to love God passionately, it's God, whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you say, that's what I want to say. Whatever you pray, that song that we just did, that's what I want to pray. I want to be that. I want to live like that. And then the last one, talking about that, is serving God energetically. Sometimes people around here look at our schedule, look at our announcements, and they go, wow, you guys are really busy. And we really think that we should serve God energetically. We really think we should do lots of things for the Lord and for the kingdom. We want to love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And what was that last one? All of our strength. So that would be energetically too, huh? And there's days like you that I'm just going, I'm really tired today. I'm not sure I have enough strength to do this. But when I love Him with all my strength, I muster it up and we go do that. So that's kind of some of the heartbeat of what the Life Center is about, worshiping God and honoring Him and loving Him passionately. The second one is, how do we love others purposefully? And I know this is something that we strive to do, we work hard at doing, we don't always do it perfectly or well, but it is our heart, it is the heartbeat of what we want to be. We want to intentionally love others. We want to, on purpose, love people as much as we love ourselves, do for them as much as we would do for ourselves. And the Bible said, actually Jesus said in the Bible, if you'll do these two things, you fulfill all of the law and everything the prophets said. Sometimes you say, well, Christianity is really complicated. Really, it's not that complicated. If you just love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you'll just love your neighbor as you love yourself, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's not as easy as it sounds all the time, though, is it? There's some of you that aren't so lovable some days. And some days I'm not so lovable. I know. But that's our goal, that's our heartbeat, to love each other. So when we love each other purposefully, we have also three phrases for that. We think that people will gain through fellowship. So we try to create fellowship. Young adults are doing a movie pretty quick. That's in October. We're going to the Walk Through the Bible thing this Saturday. Hope you all come to that. It's going to be an amazing thing. Hope you come. Free lunch. Well, you know, we'll bait you in that way. $17 for the workbook. But come and fellowship. And that's not a Life Center event. That's a community event. All the churches in the community gathering together for that event. We just get to host it here. The dinner's across the road at the Nazarene Church. But we think that when we get together and fellowship, we benefit. There's a gain there. We love each other through fellowship. Do I wish that we fellowshiped more? Yeah. Do I wish I had more time to fellowship? Absolutely. Right now, Sister Gribble's suffering and she's not doing well. They took her to the hospital yesterday. And do I wish I just had a lot more time to love her and her family and fellowship with her and them more? I do. And you guys also. But it is still the heartbeat of who we are. We know that when we fellowship, we gain. So we gain through fellowship. We gather through evangelism. If we can get more people coming to God, their life's better. How many of you would say your life's better since you came and met God? The rest of you are still trying to figure it out. But it's true. Your life's better after you meet the Lord. So if I'm going to love my neighbor like I love myself, I came to Jesus because I wanted my life to be better. I loved me. I want me to be better. I want me to have more peace. I want me to have a better life. So I come to Jesus. So if I love other people, I'm going to gather through evangelism and bring them to the Lord also so that they can experience His goodness. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we want to help people gather through evangelism. And then one of the last things there is that we want people to grow through teaching. We love to teach our life groups. We're going to be launching a bunch of those real soon. Life groups are designed to teach and to fellowship. So those are coming right away. So people gain John Swan. How many of you like John Swan's Sunday school teaching? Yeah, it's awesome stuff. You know, we definitely are improved, and we grow through teaching. So that's what those three things are. We're committed to be a generous church, an empowering church, and a church of excellence. Three other phrases that we use around here. This is the heartbeat of the Life Center, who we're trying to be, who we hope to become if we're not there yet. Let me talk about the 15 values. You can take a look at our vision statement. It's on the website. Maybe it's in your packet too. You can take a look at that and see a little more. But we have 15 values around here that we talk about. All of these values would be great for families and parents and children. I'm talking about baby dedication today and those great children and young families. So let's jump into what those are. The first one is we want to be a church that loves God. We don't want to date Him. We don't want to visit Him occasionally. We just don't want custody on the weekends. You know, we want to love God fully and completely. When people look at the Life Center, we want them to say, that's a church that loves God. We try to do that. We don't always do it perfectly, but we try to do that. We want to be that way. The next is, that's a church that loves people. One of their values is they love people. The next value would be, this is a church that loves diversity, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about in detail today, a church that loves diversity. So I'll come back to that in just a little bit and what that means. A church that's a friend to the destiny of others, a church that makes room in our lives for new people, a church that's known for its acts of kindness. And I could talk for an hour about each one of these or more. Some of you have heard me talk more about each one of these. A church that's full of good works, a church that glorifies God, a church that loves to pray, a church that is life-giving, a church that works to eliminate loneliness in the Upper Clearwater region. I'm probably messing it all up. They're probably not following me back there, huh? A church that loves to do things with passion and excellence, a church that has big faith, a church that's generous with our time, talents, and treasures, a church that's taking its place in the world and fulfilling its destiny. The church we want to be, the heartbeat of the Life Center, who we are. And those would be great values for you to put in your life. I want to be a person that loves God and loves people and loves diversity and is a friend to the destiny of others and all the rest of those. But let's talk about loving diversity. Loving diversity is such a biblical value, yet it is elusive. It is slippery trying to be somebody that loves diversity. And when I was young, I just thought the old people didn't love diversity and just us young folks did. But then I realized that when I was young, I didn't like their diversity and they didn't like my diversity. Now I'm kind of in the middle and I'm not sure I like anybody's diversity. It gets harder some days. Well, we talk about the DISC profile around here, the DISC. We talk about the different personalities that are in the world and what they're like and why they do what they do. And if you're into the Gary Smalley stuff, it's what the lion and the otter and the beaver and the golden retriever would be the four that he would categorize. So we know that people are different and personalities are different and preferences are different. And so if you have many have ever been in the church world and know that the church is different. Different churches are different. The different people in churches are different. So being a church that loves diversity, now that is a huge challenge for us. So I wanted to talk a little bit about it, and I'm going to totally mess up their notes because I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, which they never knew up there in the sound booth. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what this loving diversity looks like. Some of you today, in your relationships at home, in your relationships with your children, in your relationships on the job, if you can grasp a hold of this concept that people are different, but it's okay, and we should learn to love diversity and value different people, different personalities with their different preferences, if we could get a hold of that, the world would be a much better place. The church would be a much better place. Your family would be a much better place if we could get a hold of that. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." Are you hearing that? He says, you have a calling, and you have a set of gifts from God. You have a set of talents. You have a personality that God has given you, and you should be true to that. You should be honest with that. Doesn't mean you can't modify it to where it's more Christ-like. It just means that you should be free to be you and be okay with being you and not have to fit into somebody else's description of what they want you to be. God's description, yes. And if you have relationships with people like marriage covenants and things like that, yeah, you need to try to do your best to keep that peace. And he talks about peace here just a little bit. He says, you should have lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering. You should bear with one another in love. He's talking about unity. You should work hard for unity. Bear with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor. That word endeavoring is not just a give it a shot once in a while. That's not what the word means, is it? It means you need to work your hind end off. You need to work hard. You need to make this high priority to endeavor to keep the unity of peace in your relationships, in your life, in the church. Verse 4 says, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. One, right? There's only one body of Christ. There's only one God, one baptism, one faith, one Lord. There's just one. And in Christianity, we really need to embrace the one body of Christ. All of our brothers and sisters that are meeting in other congregations today, they're one with us. One with us. We're not in competition with them. They're not in competition with us. We're one. We're brothers and sisters. And we should know that. We shouldn't judge and point fingers and criticize. We shouldn't be that way with other churches and other groups of people. We have our calling. They have their calling. We have our assignments from God. They have their assignments from God. And we should allow them to fulfill their assignments and obey the Lord. Let them do that. Hallelujah. Support them, love them, bless them every time we can. And then we go do what God's asked us to do, fulfill our calling. In this community, we have these multiple churches, and they all have some different emphasis, and they all have some different ideas, and they all have some different priorities, but they're one body of Christ. They're my brothers and they're my sisters. And I love diversity. I love diversity. I love the body of Christ. Inside this church, there's diversity, right? Have you guys noticed that? Have you noticed that some of you are different than other people? Some of you have different preferences, different ideals, different things that you prioritize than others. And we'll talk about how we can love that and support that and it not become a division or a heartache or a pain for us. So in verse 7 he says, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So the things that you have, the talents that you have, the personality that you have, the temperament that you have, all of that is a gift from God specifically designed for you so that you can accomplish the things God has destined for your life. Some of us are really great with our hands at building things, and some of us aren't. Some of us are great at planning and organizing. Some of us aren't. Some of us are artistic. Some of us aren't. Some of us are tall, and some of us aren't. And we could just keep going and going and going, right? Some of us love to read, and some of us don't. Some of us have long attention spans, and the rest of you are hoping I'll hurry up and get on with this sermon. God's given us gifts. We didn't give it to ourselves. He gave it to us. There's some other verses that we could talk about that says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. The thing that you have, God gave it to you. You didn't give it to yourself. You didn't go grab it somewhere. Honor those things in each other. Well, let's rest of verse 8. Jesus ascended on high. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. That just talks about that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he descended actually into hell, actually into the depths of the earth. He actually ascended there. He led captivity captive. He conquered our enemy. He overthrew the powers of darkness, and he resurrected from the grave 3 days later victoriously. We just read that in our Bible reading today. If you read Mark 16, our Bible reading today, you just read that today. And what an amazing, wonderful, great thing that was. It said, and then he ascended on high. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended. And when he ascended, it said he gave gifts to us. And really what I want us to think about is that we are gifts to each other. And the temperaments, the priorities, the callings that we have are gifts to one another. And if we're not careful, we are divisive with those things instead of appreciative and united with those things. So he talks about some of those. Verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. So those are the five gifts that he talks about in this verse. There's lots of other gifts, too, that the Bible talks about. But how different are apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers? Anybody? How different are those five groups of people? Wow, right? And if how many of you have seen conflict in the body of Christ because this person's apostolic, this person's prophetic, this person's a teacher, this person's evangelist, this person's a pastor? And if we're not careful, if we love the pastoral part, we think everybody should have the pastor's heart, everybody should have pastoral caring for the other people. Gifts of mercy are huge in pastoral callings, gifts of mercy. And we look at a prophet or an apostle, and we're going, how come they don't have gifts of mercy? How come they say what they say? How come they do what they do? And we can get divisive in the congregation because of one of the gifts that God gave us. Instead of saying, we need the apostle, we need the prophet, we need the teacher, we need the pastor, and we need the evangelist. And if we get all five of those, if we can love diversity, then we can be perfected as saints. And the body of Christ can grow the way it's supposed to grow. And we can develop the way we're supposed to develop. If a church develops with only a pastoral anointing, it's lopsided. If it only has an evangelistic anointed, it's lopsided. If it only has an apostolic anointing, it's lopsided. If it only has a couple of those and denies the other three, it's lopsided. And it's hard to get all five functioning and flowing at the same time. It's really hard. But the point really for us today is you need to learn to love all five of those things and understand their value and embrace them. But if we're not careful, we pick on each other. If they were really spiritual, they'd be more like me. If they were really spiritual, they would just love the teaching of the Word. If they were really spiritual, they would sit for hours and hours and absorb teaching and just absorb it. They would listen to CDs everywhere they go. They would have their iPod in, and they would be teaching, teaching, teaching. If they were really spiritual, they'd do that. That's what the teacher people think. The prophetic people, if they were really spiritual, they'd be repenting. They'd be doing all-night prayer meetings every other night. If they were really spiritual, they'd be cleaning up their life and living holier. If they were really spiritual, they'd be looking at the signs of the times, and they'd be getting really serious about the. If they were really spiritual. The evangelistic people are going, if you haven't won somebody to Christ in your life or in the last week, you're a heathen. You know, because if you're not evangelizing, you're a heathen. What's the matter with you? You know what the Great Commission is, don't you? Come on, let's get with it. And if we're not careful, we amplify the thing we are or the thing that we love the most, and then we degrade and put down the other things. But we're supposed to love diversity. We're supposed to love diversity. What does diversity accomplish? It says, the equipping of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to become a perfect man in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're talking about we can really grow and become who we're supposed to be if we'll love diversity, embrace all of this. I could just talk a whole bunch more, but I got to move on. Go ahead and read the rest of that. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. All of those verses talk a lot about those things. God even says that when we allow diversity to divide us, we're carnal and immature and babies that should be eating milk, but instead, or should be eating meat, but instead we're having to drink milk. When I read that, I'm going, ouch. There's days that I struggle with diversity myself. There's days when I think a little too highly of myself than I ought to. There's days when I think our church is pretty cool, and other churches aren't quite as cool. There's days when my carnal flesh rises up, and I have to repent and ask God to forgive me and recalibrate my life. Look at these values again. See, these values are really designed to recalibrate us. The Life Center loves diversity. We have to recalibrate ourselves to that quite often. We have some other issues here. I'll just get really personal with us for a minute. God's called the Life Center to be a special kind of church and do a special thing in His community right here. He asked us to do something that we didn't normally do and we weren't normally like, to accomplish some things that He wants somebody to accomplish here. And so, loving diversity is a key issue in what God wants us to do. The problem with loving diversity and hitting the middle of the road on lots of issues is that you make everybody mad. That's the problem. The Pentecostal people don't think we're Pentecostal enough. And they get unhappy. The non-Pentecostal people think we're way too Pentecostal, and they get unhappy. And then there's all the other segments and personalities and belief systems. The end-time prophecy people think we should preach a lot more messages about that. And the evangelistic people think we ought to do a lot more about that. And if you could listen to the things that we hear throughout the year, you would understand that our calling is unique, and our calling, God asked us to build a church that would reach people that other churches aren't reaching. That's what He asked us to do. So when I think about that phrase, I'm going, we have three classical Pentecostal churches in our area. I guess we don't need to be one of those. We have Nazarene churches and Baptist churches and non-denominational churches and everything in between, all of that. I guess we don't need to be one of those. God's asking us to be something and do some things that would reach people that aren't currently being reached. And that demands diversity. It demands diversity. So what we try to do in our services is be diverse. And if you hang around us, you're going to see occasionally we swing a little this way for a season, and occasionally we'll swing a little this way for a season, but we have to be careful to not swing too far, because God already has churches like those in this area, and he doesn't need another one of those churches. He just asked us to do something different. So you'll see us swing a little here, swing a little there, here a swing, there a swing, everywhere a swing, swing. You'll see that happening occasionally. One thing that we love to do is we love life groups and we love small group meetings. And if you have special emphasis and special loves and special desires, you can lead a life group and you can find a handful of people in this congregation that love what you love, that like what you like, and want to help you do what you want to do. And we want to create that kind of diversity. And we want that to be okay with everybody and everything. So I think I'm going to be quiet now regarding that topic. We're going to get the Connect cards out, and we're going to take our offering before we do the baby dedication, and that will allow all the parents to go with their other little kids. So they wanted a break to do that. So if you get your Connect card out today, a couple things on that. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior recently and you want to share that with us, we have a book we'd love to give you. We'd love to pray with you and celebrate with you. If you want to come to the Saturday Walk Through the Bible event, Walking Through the New Testament, 5 hours, free lunch, costs $17 per workbook. Every person needs a workbook. If you want that, check that. If you want to support Judy and Kevin Snow, our missionaries in Mexico, you weren't here when they were here, go ahead and check that. We'll connect with you. And then our Trunk or Treat event's coming up in about 6 weeks, so we're already organizing and planning for that, and you can check that if you'd like to help. If you have prayer requests or answered prayers, we'd love you to fill that out as well. Amen. Ushers, why don't you come, and we'll receive this offering. Amen. Father, thank you today for just an ability to give. Thank you, Father, for your richness in our life. Thank you for the gift of salvation and all the other things you bring to us. We pray today that you would bless these people as they give, bless their offering, bless their businesses. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've never done 4 baby dedications in one service. It's pretty cool, huh? Woo-hoo. Yeah. So they're still gathering their kids, and if you get your kids gathered, you can come right on up here. I don't know, you guys want to come all the way to the top? Is that better? I'm going to talk about each individual child for a minute, and then we're going to do a dedication all together, and it's going to be a ton of fun. Look at these beautiful kids coming up. Yeah, come on up all the way. Arby and Kathleen dedicating their daughter, Brielle. Jared and Misty got these twin angels, Gabriel and Michael. And Kelsey and Josh, they have a son, Cash. So every family's unique, right? We talk about diversity. You guys seeing any diversity up here? And these children, even though they're twins, are going to be diverse, already are probably. All of these families have other children, and they're all unique and diverse. I was thinking, if you're a parent, you better love diversity. If you're a grandparent, you better love diversity. Because God gives us all these beautiful kids, and they all have their own personalities and their own ways. So each child's special. Each child is unique. Each child is a gift from God. You know, we're talking about how all of us are gifts from God to each other. The Bible clearly says children are a gift from God, and God entrusts us with them. It's a huge responsibility, but a huge joy at the same time. So let's talk about Brielle. We're going to do that girl first. Her name means God is my strength. That's pretty cool, huh? Scripture.